Gospel of John, chapter 4. Let's start in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In this thou sayest thou truly. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word today as it's preached. I pray, Lord, as your word goes out, it would accomplish the thing that you intend it to accomplish. I pray that, Lord, that you would help us to let you be free to move in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, I pray that you would influence our thoughts. I pray that you would guide us to a closer relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that you'd make your word clear. So clear, Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that's lost, that's not saved, Lord, that they might see and understand the gospel. I pray that they would be convicted of their sins. I pray that they'd call upon you and be saved. Lord, I pray that you would help us as Christians to walk closer to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for being so merciful to us. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Now bless this hour and may your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a tremendous story. Sometimes we use it for soul winning. Sometimes we preach it in the other direction and concentrate on some things. This last time that I read through this story, I was looking at this woman of Samaria. The first thing that I saw here, the first thing that really caught my attention was what a tremendous opportunity this woman had right here. I mean, how many women go on their daily chores and go up to the well to get the water just like they do every day? And then they meet the Lord and the Savior of the universe right there at the well, sitting on the well, asking them for a drink of water. I mean, Jesus was not just one of the other apostles. He wasn't just one of the other disciples. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He's the one that has the authority to give eternal life to anyone that asks him. He's the one that has the keys and the power of life and death. And there he is sitting on the well right there. And this woman was right there. And she just had a tremendous opportunity. You know, I wonder why she just didn't obey him, give him the water, kept her veil over her face, keep her face hid, give him the water, and then walk away. You know, I wonder why, I'm not exactly sure why she engaged him in conversation or exactly what that was. I know that Jesus was interested in her and Jesus cared about her. But you know, he got me to think of the times when Jesus Christ breaks in upon our life. You know, this woman, I don't know if there was, there's no other recorded story of anything like this ever happening before. This was probably the only opportunity that she ever had to actually talk with him and to call upon his name. He was going to go off into another place. She was going to have no more opportunity. If she was going to do business with him, it was going to be right there and right then. And yet, you know what the Lord is right now? The Lord is among us right now. Amen. The Lord breaks in upon your life in different ways. You know, the problem with us many times is we are so hurried and so busy and so careful with all of the things that we have to do, we miss the Lord. We get dry. Sometimes it looks like when we walk through this life, we start losing our strength. And you know that happens. We start getting dry. We started getting weary. And even Jesus himself, he's walking on those dusty roads. He got thirsty and he got weary. It's just one of the things that we have to put up with in this flesh right here. But you know, I don't want to be so preoccupied with all of this stuff in this life that I miss when God crosses my path. That I miss it when God is wanting to get my attention on something. The sweetest thing and the most valuable thing that you and I as Christians have is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of the things that he points out here. This is a tremendous passage. You have to forgive my coughing. I'm not sick, believe me. It's just when I walk in here I start coughing and I don't know why. I haven't figured out who it is yet. But when I find out, we'll get things taken care of. But when I walk in here, I cough. But this story right here is tremendous because it gives a perfect illustration of what Jesus is willing to do for the sinner. Here's this woman. She's got to go there every day with her clay pot. She's got to go down there and she's got to draw water. And what happens at the end of the day? That clay pot, it gets dry. And she's got to go back to that well again, and she's got to fill up that clay pot, and she's got to go back the next day, and she's got to get some more. And what Jesus was telling her, he says, I could give you living water where you would never thirst again. Of course, he's not talking about physical water. The next day, that woman would probably still have to take her clay pot and go down there and fill it up. But you know, it's a perfect type and a picture of what we have in this world and of all the things that we try to do to get satisfied other than with what the Lord Jesus said. See, the Lord Jesus said, if you get this water right here, you'll never thirst again. You know what I know? That everybody in life is, they're looking for something. They're looking for joy, happiness, fulfillment. Some people think that the greatest thing in life is to be happy. If I could only be happy, if I could only find fulfillment, if I could only do this. And you know what we always end up in sometimes with some people, it's when they're young, other people, they're old by the time they realize this, is that nothing in this world is a permanent satisfaction. Nothing satisfies forever. I just drove home not too long ago, an almost new van. Boy, it was satisfying driving that thing. Tell you what, Lonnie, it was satisfying driving that thing. That thing, boy, it just smelled good, you know, and it was new. And everything, and it wasn't long, you know, I've got boys. It wasn't long before there was nicks and scrapes, you know, and little holes poked in the header, you know, and juice stains on the seat. And, you know, it's not quite as satisfying as it was a couple of weeks ago. You know what I know? That in another couple of months and another couple of years, and I plan on keeping that thing till the wheels fall off, it's not going to bring me the same joy and the same satisfaction. Hey, isn't that the thing with worldly things? It's just the way that it happens. I'll tell you something else. Not just in that sense, but sin does not satisfy. Oh, if we could get this through our heads. Sin does not satisfy. This woman wanted what Jesus had. Jesus said, I could give you water, that if you had this water, you would live forever. You would be immortal. You would never thirst again. All of your longings, all of your dreams, all of your hopes, all of your desires would be fulfilled in this water right here. I could give you eternal life. And she says, I want that. And you know what Jesus said? He said, go call thy husband. You see, before we can get the eternal water that Jesus Christ is offering, this eternal life, God is going to deal with sin. And sin does not satisfy. I'm sure he wanted to make this woman see. Now, what was her case? Her case was one of having many different husbands. And it could have been that all these guys are widows. I mean, not them. But it could be that she was a... How do you figure that out? That she was a widow to all those guys or something like that. All her husbands died. It could have been, you know, very innocent. But you know, probably not. Probably not. You don't have that many men die with some kind of something strange going on there. I wonder whose fault it was. I wonder if they were the ones running out of the house screaming. Or if I wonder whether she was the one that decided, this isn't good anymore. I'm not happy. You know, I've tried to talk to people that were walking out on just beautiful family. I'm not happy. I'm not happy here. I don't know what her problem was. Was she not happy? Was she... But maybe it was... Maybe her problem, and I'm speculating here, I don't know for sure, but maybe her problem was that she was putting so much stock in these men, in these relationships, that it was just too much. You know, you'll never find ultimate happiness in another person. God did design marriage. He did. And God did design a husband and wife to stick together. And there is no doubt in the world I get tremendous happiness and satisfaction in my wife. I've got a beautiful wife, gorgeous wife. She's got a great personality. We get together well. I mean, I could talk about her all day. But if she is my fulfillment in life, I'm going to be real disappointed. I'm going to be real disappointed. You better have a source of happiness. You better have a source of fulfillment that is in something other than simply another person. Because I'll tell you why. If all of your cards are in somebody else, whether it's a girlfriend or whether it's a boyfriend or a husband and a wife or some affair that you decide to have outside of marriage, you're going to come up disappointed and broken and empty, because no human being can give that kind of satisfaction. It's impossible. Because we're frail, we're sinners, we're prone to stumble. Don't put your hopes in another person. Don't let another person hold the keys to your happiness. Let it be in something that's more solid. And here was this woman, she just was not happy. And I don't know how old she was, but she was searching. And she was searching. And she was searching for something that she was never going to find in another person. Be careful how you place other people in your... Be careful of the position that you give other people in your own heart. There's some people that... And, you know, this was my case, that turned to drugs and alcohol to maybe, just maybe, you know? And, you know, it's kind of seductive in a way, because you get high for the first time. And the first time that you end up getting high, you said, man, this is great. You know, I'm not hurting anybody. This is really good. But you know what happens is, over the course of time, it takes more drugs, it takes more alcohol to get the same high as before, until finally you're in a basket case and you're like some people that they are shooting up just to stay alive. Do you know what sin does? Sin is like a chain. It brings a snare. The Bible says our soul has escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. And the Bible says the snare is laid in vain in the sight of any bird. Satan will take those snares and he'll lay them secretly in these things. And he'll beckon you to come and he'll say, come on, man, it doesn't matter if you just have a few drinks. It doesn't matter if you smoke a joint. It's not bad. I mean, God created all this stuff. And he begins to draw you in until you're ensnared in this. And you realize that you were looking for happiness and you could never, ever find it. You'll never find it in that stuff. Sunday, it's about 11:30. Probably not too much now, but you know, later on today and tonight, there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be, they're going to be trying to find happiness. You know where they're going to look? 1-900-dot-dot-dot-dot-dot. Pornography. You will never get satisfaction there. Ever. But there are some guys that they think it's innocent. You think it's just a game. Go ahead. No, don't try it. Because it's not a game. It's not innocent. You call this 900 number and you think you're going to get a little talk and you think you're going to push the line a little bit and talk to these real pretty girls that are on there in the TV. Don't you understand something? Here's the first thing, is that they pay real pretty skinny models who eat lettuce all day long to get in those commercials right there. They're not real people. They're not real. Then they get them to put up there. And they dance around a little bit and they say, call us. We'll be glad to help you out. And so you're lonely, right? You're looking for satisfaction. You're looking for some companionship. So you call the number and you know what you get? The phone gets redirected to this woman that lives in the South Bronx and she's got 6 kids. She's got curlers in her hair. She makes $6 an hour to talk to you when you call her house. That's exactly what it is. It's a lie. Some guys are going to sit there and they're going to start punching in those numbers on the internet and they're going to start looking up those sites. And you think you're going to find satisfaction in that? You're not going to find satisfaction in that. You think you're going to spice up your life by going out and having an affair? You're not going to do it. You cannot find satisfaction in this world. The Bible says that there is pleasure in sin for a season. And that is all it is. You see, this woman is like many Americans today. looking for a dream that does not exist. We are inundated in this country with all sorts of temptations and all sorts of riches and all sorts of pleasures. And there are guys whose whole goal in their life, their sole purpose for being is to sleep in hotel rooms and go out on this little bass boat and compete in these tournaments to catch bass, hoping to be the best bass fisherman in the world. I know, because we got those fishing magazines. We picked up a stack this high in the thrift store so we could learn how to fish, you know. We're out at Calaveras trying out all those stuff, you know, all those things. It doesn't work. It's all lies. There's no fish out there in that lake. We proved it. We looked. There weren't any. But, you know, that is their drive and their goal. You know, that is what they live for, a little bass this big. And that is their whole purpose in life. Do you think they're going to find satisfaction? It's no wonder that we get disappointed. It's no wonder that we look around and we say, why is life even worth living? It's no wonder that sometimes young teenagers, it just breaks your heart, but young teenagers actually consider taking their own lives because there's nothing to live for. Well, it's no wonder. Sin will never satisfy. You need something more. You need something a lot more. Do you know that God put us down here on earth for a whole lot more than simply just to make a living and just to be here? God's got a purpose for us. First thing He wants to do with you is He wants to give you eternal life. The Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God's got a dream for you that goes so much higher than any dream you could possibly have. God wants you to be saved. God wants it desperately. You know how much He wants it? He wanted it so much that He took this man right here, this God-man, this Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, and He brought Him down to earth, and He died on a cross so that He could become the propitiation, so that He could take all the wrath of God, so that He could become the perfect sacrifice. He could become the originator, not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. He's the one that wants to save you. You say, well, not even God cares about me. Well, you know, that's why you think that way, is because you've been looking too much in this world. And it's true. You look around in this world and probably not a whole lot of people do care, you know, when you think about it. Everybody's so selfish. I am. I think about me and I like the people that affect me. And, you know, I'm very self-centered and I constantly have to repent of it and turn away from it and break out of my little shell. But the truth is there is nobody in the world that loves you more than Jesus Christ. Jesus loved this woman right here, a Samaritan woman. A woman that nobody else paid any attention to. Oh, she's just a dreamer. She's going after her own way. But she laid down her head on her pillow at nights and wondering, where is satisfaction? Where is true happiness? Why can't I find peace in my heart? The Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The source of everything is found in Jesus Christ. It's such a simple thing. It's the source of everything is in Jesus Christ. You read back in the book of Ecclesiastes and you read the song, you read Solomon and the things that he wrote. Man, the things that he built, the wives that he had. I mean, the places that he made, the groves, all the money that he had. If there was drink there, he tried it. If there was drugs, he tried it. He tried everything. He wanted to find out about it all. And in the end, you know what his one word answer was for everything? Vanity. Vanity. It's all vanity. So who cares if you live your life and become the number one biggest bass fisherman of all history and you lose your soul? It doesn't make any sense. You know what I believe? I believe that Jesus Christ is still active today in crossing the paths of men. I also believe it's probably no accident that you're in this service here today. God wants to deal with your heart. God wants to deal with you. God wants to bring you to Himself. You've got the wrong picture of God. You've got the wrong view of God if you think God is some sort of an ogre who just simply wants to smash you with his thumb and bring you under obedience. God wants you to voluntarily submit to him so that you could get all those things that you're trying to get right now, but you can't get. He wants to give you all. He wants to give you peace that passes all understanding. The source of that is in Jesus Christ. How are you going to find that in the world? How are you going to find that in a magazine somewhere? How are you going to find that in another person or anything else that this world has to offer? What drug out there that can give me peace in my heart? I know a lot of drugs that can give me utopia for a little while, but you always come down. You always come down. But with Jesus, you don't ever come down. I'm not saying that I never have been depressed or I never have been low or I never have been down walking with the Lord. But I have never had that total and complete emptiness that I had when I was in the world. I have never had that. I have never laid awake at bed at my mind wondering where I'm going to go when I die. Never. I know whom I believe in. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You see, sin will never satisfy. And as long as you're in that section of the bookstore that's got all of the self-help books, you know, how to beat this, how to get over that, how to be successful, you're never going to get the answer. In fact, the answer is right here in this book right here. This is it, man. You think, man, it's so simplistic. It can't be that simple. But if you trust your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you decide right now, here today, I'm stopping, I'm tired of wandering around, I'm tired of searching for satisfaction everywhere else but in God, right now I stop, I repent, I turn towards Christ, I take whatever it is that He's offering me, your life will change. Your life will take a new direction that you wouldn't even begin to believe. And I'm not talking about health and happiness. And you may still stay sick. You may still stay poor. You may still have the problems that you have. But you just don't know what kind of strength you can get from the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't understand what kind of peace, what kind of fulfillment, what kind of joy He can bring you until you actually come, until you actually humble yourself, until you actually surrender yourself and take Him as your Lord and Savior. He does not want to force you to do anything. He wants you to voluntarily bow your knees and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. He wants you to do that so bad so that He can give you everything that He's offering you. Verse 14, He says, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Let me tell you what most people's view of Christianity is. You go out and you buy yourself a Bible, you learn a few verses, you go to church, and you try to be a Christian. That's what most people's idea is. You try to be good. When you're around Christians, you talk holy and you talk nice and you try to be good and you join the women's auxiliary and you go to the men's prayer breakfast and you do Christian things. But that's not what Christianity is all about. You don't become a Christian by doing Christian things. It says right here, "The water that I shall give him should be a well of water springing up into everlasting life." This is what God wants to do for you. Right now inside your heart, there's wickedness, there's rebellion, there's anger, there's bitterness, there's lust. There would not be one volunteer that would be willing to give the thoughts of the last 24 hours and broadcast them on a screen for us to see. Not a part that you wouldn't dare tell your closest companion. Because inside the heart, there's wickedness. Inside the heart, there's rebellion, there's anger, there's stubbornness. Now think about this. This is what Jesus Christ wants to do. He does not want to just make you over on the outside and make you somebody that other people would look at and say, "Hey, that's a fine person." He wants to start on the inside where the trouble is. You see, I've turned over a new leaf before. I know what it's like to stop doing something. I remember there was a time when I decided I was going to stop smoking. You know, it was bad for my health. It was bad for... And I decided I was going to stop. And I went an entire year and I didn't smoke a single cigarette, but I wasn't any more holy than I was before. I was a little healthier, but I wasn't any more holy. You see, you can turn over a new leaf. You can clean up your act. And man, I hope you do. If you're a drunk now, get out of it. You know, clean up your act. But I'm telling you, there's something better than all of that. The Lord Jesus actually wants to take the Spirit of God and place it inside of you. God wants to live in you. You see what a difference that is? It's not us trying to follow God and He's nowhere to be found. No, He actually takes up His abode in us. Do you know where the church is? The church is where two or three people are gathered together in His name. And there He is in the midst. The church is not a building. This building right here is not where God dwells. We could meet in a school and have just as holy and reverent services as we have anywhere else. You see, God wants to dwell in His people. You know what happens when the Spirit of God begins to dwell in you? All of a sudden, something happens to that anger. Something happens to that lust. Something happens to that bitterness. I'm telling you, there are things God did with me that I don't even think I could begin to describe. I remember when I called on His name. I remember when I became a Christian. And for me, when I got up there, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir wasn't singing, you know. I didn't hear any thunder. There was no lightning. I didn't feel any electric bolts or anything like that. But when I got up from my knees, I knew I was saved. Don't tell me how. I called on and I asked Him. I trusted Him. I trusted His Word. And I knew that I was saved. And the transformation was tremendous. I was so thankful. There were things God delivered me from. There were things God took away from me. There were things God changed in me. God began to heal me. And you know, that's what good, clean water does. You know, you ought to drink water just anyway, you know, unless you're a diabetic or have kidney problems or something, but you just ought to drink water anyway. It's good for the body. God designed it that way. It protects you from things. It inoculates you. You know, it kind of makes your body like a sponge so all the evil stuff can't get in and, you know, you put it out. You ought to drink a lot of water. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to drink more of the water of life. Let me tell you what the water can do. This eternal life that Jesus Christ offers you not only makes you immortal to where when this earthly body dies, your spirit goes on forever and ever. But God can actually take that water and heal some things in your life right now. Some of you have had a battle with sin that you have not been able to gain victory over no matter how you tried. You're just sunk under it. And some of you might be thinking, how in the world could I ever be saved with this thing in my life? And yet, you know, the Lord can heal you of that. The Lord went into a city one time. And in that city, He was crossing through that area. And there was a guy that came out of the tombs. And nobody could help him. There was not a soul that could do anything for him. The doctors couldn't. The psychics couldn't. All of the physicians couldn't. None of the religious men could do anything for this man. But Jesus, with just a touch, cast the demons out of that man. And in a moment, he was sitting, he was clothed, he was in his right mind. I know God can heal you of some things. God can take anger in your life. He can heal it. You see, how in the world could I ever just give it to Him? You know, there are a lot of things that we suffer in our life because we're drinking from the wrong waters. You're sitting there and you're reading novels all day and you're wondering why the Spirit of God doesn't come upon you. I could probably give you a good indication why. You spend 3 minutes a day in the Word of God, and you spend 4 hours watching television, and you wonder why you don't feel close to the Lord. I could probably tell you why. You say, well, brother, now you don't want to get legalistic, you know, because after all, there's nothing wrong with anything. Listen, in my life, anything that takes away from my relation to Christ, my relationship to Christ is a direct threat. It doesn't matter if you can't call it sin or not. If it's threatening my way, and you know, I did a radical thing. I took a TV out of my house, and I took it out 6 years ago, probably almost 7 now. And I've got no indications of ever bringing it back. Now, I'm not saying that you have to do that, because maybe you don't have a problem with it. And maybe there's some person that's in their part that's all they've got from the outside world. They can't get out or anything, and all they've got is CNN or whatever. I don't know. But I'm telling you that for me, it took away from my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I drank from sitcoms. And Jay Leno's cute. He's got a lot of neat stories and everything. But when that takes the place of my worship and my Bible reading, it's time to go. And guess who's going to go? It's not going to be the Word of God. It's going to be Jay Leno. History, buddy. Even if I miss out on some pretty good jokes, I'll just have to take that sacrifice. I want to drink of the water of life. I'll let you guys catch me up on all that. You see what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that Jesus Christ offers us something here that is going to satisfy not just eternal life, but an actual relationship that will give you everything that you ever wanted in this world. He'll give you fulfillment. He'll give you direction. You know, we're some of the few people in the universe that actually know why we're here and what we're about and what we're supposed to be doing. That's a blessing. That's a tremendous blessing. I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 2. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now we look at that on the outside and we say, that has got to be the most foolish thing that those people could ever have done. After God led them through the wilderness, after God delivered them through the Red Sea, after God put them in their own land, after God defeated their enemies, after God did all these things, and now they're going to turn their back on that great and tremendous and wonderful God. They're going to voluntarily turn away from Him and replace a fountain of living waters with little containers that are cracked on the bottom that can't hold any water. You say, that's so foolish, but that's what they did. You know, that's what you and I do all the time. Sometimes the greatest peace in the world doesn't come from trying to do more, trying to fill up your schedule more. There is something that each and every one of us need. And especially you Christians that have walked with the Lord for years and years and have gotten real used to the things in this Bible, the doctrines are second nature to you. You've become very well-versed in just about every form of invitation and every form of witnessing. This is even that much more critical to you. You have to maintain a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a personal relationship. How you accomplish that can be done in several different ways, but you have to constantly be drinking of water. You have to be constantly be putting your taproot down into the river of the water of life. Or nobody's going to be able to tell you from a lost man. You're going to be just as bitter, just as cold, just as cynical as any lost man ever was. You know, we can get so used to the Lord that we miss it. You ought to walk with the Lord every day. There ought to be a time when I don't care when it is, and I don't want to set any kind of legalistic schedules and say, well, because I know somebody tried to do that with me one time. They just say, well, you know what you need? You need a 1 hour quiet time, and the first minute needs to be intercession, and then the second needs to be supplication, and then the third needs to be praise, and you divide everything up into 10 minutes, you know? But that's not it, you know? When I spend time with my wife, whom I love, I don't divide up the hour into 10-minute segments and saying, okay, now we're going to do this and now we're going to do that. We just fellowship when we share. But you have to have a direct relationship. I'll tell you why. If you're one of the greatest preachers in the world and you're not constantly getting replenished, you're not constantly getting encouraged again, you're not constantly getting re-strengthened, you're going to dry up and you're not going to be any good to anybody. He says, the water that I give will spring up within them into everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the only thing that satisfies. And there are a lot of Christians that right now are wandering around this world and they're looking for satisfaction in everything else. Well, God gave us a lot of things to enjoy, but He never meant those things to be our life. He wants Him to be the center. He doesn't want you to be so caught up in another person that you can't see the Lord. He wants Him to be the center of your life. How have you been walking with the Lord Jesus? Do you worship Him? Do you talk with Him? Do you lay out your problems with Him? Or the only time you pray is the time when you get down on your knees and you go to bed at night, and the time when you thank the Lord for the food at the table, and that's the only time you have any kind of fellowship with Him? Is there ever a time when you get into His Word and you don't care how many chapters you read, you don't care what kind of schedule you keep, you just open that Bible and say, Lord, I need to hear from You. Can You speak to me? Has there ever been a time when you do that? That ought to happen on a regular basis. Because you see, you can't stay strong just hanging on other people's faith, hanging on other people's faithfulness. You yourself have to walk with God every day. If not, you're going to be lonely, you're going to be disappointed, you're going to be disillusioned. The way we stay strong is staying close to the Lord. You do that by letting Him speak to you in this Word. You guys are always talking about reading your Bible and praying. You know, there's probably a good reason why Christians talk about that all the time. Because that's where life is. Now, if you can make it mundane if you want to. If you're in a rut right now, if you're in a place right now where your walk with the Lord is boring and it's stale and it's dry, then you need to change something. You need to repent of something. You need to redirect something. Maybe there's something in your life that's taking too much of your thoughts, your energies, and your time. But just don't let it go on. Don't think it's just going to get better on His own. Seek the Lord. Find out what He's got for you. Go to Him, petition Him, and saying, Lord, I don't want to be here. I've got to get out of this rut. I've got to get back in fellowship with You. And you know, when I've done that, sometimes it's been that very day when I start crying out to Him. Sometimes I've got to cry out to Him for a week, sometimes a little bit longer. But He always answers my prayers. And Jesus has never left me hanging. You see, this world isn't going to give you the answers to your problems. The Lord Jesus will. This world's not going to give you a reason for living that's worth living for, but Jesus will. What I'd like to recommend to you today, if you're lost, if you're not saved, I'd like to recommend that you right now in this church, we have an invitation, as you walk, step out of your chair and walk down on the front and get on your knees and ask Him to save your soul. His promise is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what you're needing. That's what the emptiness is from. You need His forgiveness. You need His salvation. You need it more than you need anything else. And if you're a Christian, things have got a little dry, things have got a little dull, you know, you can always go back to Him. He'll make things right. He'll make things new. Be honest. Ask Him, Lord, is there anything I've got to get out of my life? Is there anything that I should change? Is there anything that I should do? And He's always faithful to let you know. Jesus Christ is the source of all satisfaction for the Christian. And if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you don't need anything else. If you've got Him, you've got everything that you need. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we so often get distracted. Lord, we so often get caught up in things that just ultimately don't satisfy forever. I pray that You would help us, Lord, change our hearts. Lord, help us to direct our thoughts towards You. I pray, Lord, that You would heal our relationships with You. Lord, I pray that there's some in this room that have wandered far away from You, and while they're not in open and outright sin, yet their lives just aren't right. And I pray that You would, even today, begin to draw them back and give them and restore the joy and give them again a new vitality and a zeal and a desire. I pray that You'd fill them again with Your water. I pray, Lord, that others, as they open Your Word, Lord, that You would show them things. Lord, that You would encourage their hearts through the things that they read in the Word. Lord, I pray that there's some here that aren't saved. Oh God, You had mercy on me and You saved me, and I'm so thankful. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here today and they're not saved, Lord, that they would call upon Your name today. I pray that You'd convict them of their sins and they'd call upon Your name and be saved. Lord, we give You all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.